Okay, Melachim Beis Parak Tes. Ve'lisha Anabi Kar Lechad Mivnei Anavim, Ve'yem Lech Hagor Mufnecha Ve'kach Pach Hashem An Zabiyotcha, Ve'lech Romais Gilad. So what's going on over here? Let's backtrack for a minute. We remember that Elio pointed at Elisha, and Hashem tells Elio, first of all, Lech Moshach Is Chazoy Lemelech Al-Aram. Right, he tells Elio to go and appoint Chazoyel over the king of Aram. And he wanted him to appoint Yehu over the king of Israel. And he tells Elio to appoint Elisha as the Nabi, his successor. Now, Elio appointed Elisha before he died. Before he didn't really die, right? He went up to Shemayim. And we mentioned previously that Hashem was marichav. He waited to carry out the punishment against Ahav. He wasn't going to carry it out against Ahav himself. Rather, he's going to wait till the next generation. He's going to punish the sons of Ahav. That's what we mentioned last time. And there are different reasons for that. But now came the time where Hashem was going to punish Ahav for what he did. Now, Ahav is not alive any longer. But his son, right, his descendant, Yoram, is alive. Now, Elisha wanted to be the one to carry out the punishment against Ahav. When Elisha tells Elio, what does he tell him? He tells him, Yehi na pishnayim beruchacha elai. So the simple understanding of that pasuk is that I'm going to have double the nevuah, double the prophecy that you, Elio, have. That's what Elisha is asking him. But over here, the Malbim explains that what he's referring to is he's referring to the two last missions of Elio. Two last missions of Elio are to appoint Chazal over the king of Aram, who's going to carry out the punishment, and to appoint Yehu over the king of Israel, which is also going to carry out the punishment against Ahav. Not Ahav himself, but his descendant, Yoram. And so that's what Elisha wanted to do. He wanted to be a part of that punishment because he wanted to avenge what Izebel did. She killed all the Nevi'im. And Elisha wanted to be a part, he wanted to be an avenger. Right? Not the movie, but he wanted to be an avenger for the Nevi'im. So this is what's taking place over here. So he goes ahead and he points Yoina. Yoina was one of the Bnei Nevi'im. He was one of the one of the younger Nevi'im. He appoints Yoina to go ahead and anoint Yehu to be king over the Jewish people. Why this time specifically? Because this time happened to be the perfect and opportune time for Yehu to overcome the machlus of Yoram. Why? Because Yoram, as we mentioned before, in the previous pasuk, Yoram was injured. He was sick. Where did he go? He went to Israel. He went to Israel, which is not where most of the people were, where the army was. He was separated from his army and from his men. So this is the perfect time to anoint Yehu over the king, to be king, and to overthrow Yoram, and therefore Elisha chose this specific time to pursue this political coup against Yoram.
The last pasuk, the pasuk, he opened the toilet and ran away. This is the messenger.
Yeah, we'll get there. We didn't get there yet. We just read pasuk Aleph.
I'm ahead of you.
Yeah, so we're just in Pasuk Aleph, right? So he tells Yoina, in the Pasuk he says, Echad mibnei Anavim. Chazal say that it's referring to Yoina ben Amisai. You all know who Yoina ended up becoming, right? Yoina was the one who didn't want to be the one that will bring Nineveh and bring them, cause them to do tshuva. Why? Why didn't he want to do that?
Because the Jews didn't listen to him.
Well, Yoina,
so
again,
if the Jews don't want to listen to me, the Goyim aren't going to listen to me either.
Right, that's also part of it. But also because Nineveh was going to be the nation that was going to carry out the punishment against the Jewish people eventually. And Yoina did not want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. That's why he tried everything he could to basically refuse the direct orders that he got from Hashem. Hashem told him to go to Ninte and cause him to do tshuva. So what does he do? First he goes, he takes the ship, he takes the boat almost drowns, he gets swallowed by a whale or a fish, whatever it was, until he finally got the message that he has to cause Nineveh to do tshuva. But over here, Yonah is very, very happy. He's readily available to go ahead and bring about the destruction of the household of Ahav against Yoram. Yeah, anyway, so this is the perfect time for Elisha to carry out his plan. So what does he tell? He tells Yoina, what does he say? Uvasasham, Pasik Beis, go over to the city. Ureisham Yehu ben Yoshafat ben Nimshi. You'll find Yehu. Ubasa vakimoisim yitechecha vavesa oisei cheder becheder. I want you to go over to Yehu, summon him, and bring him to an internal room where no one will have any access. Right? No Wi-Fi, no cell connection, nothing. ולקחת פח השמש ויצקת על ראשו, ואמרת, כה יאמר השם, משכתיך למלך על ישראל, ופתחת הדלת ונסת ולא יתחק. So go ahead, bring him into this room, take this פח השמן, this little jug of oil, pour it on his head. The Chazal say this was actually shemen afarsamayin, which was very rare, persimmon oil, which is extremely rare. And use this oil to go ahead and anoint Yehu to be king. And once you anoint him, open up the door and run out. Don't ask. Don't wait. Don't ask any question. Were you going to ask something before about this pasuk?
No. Yeah, but it's talking about the messenger.
Yeah, the messenger.
To run out.
Right, the messenger.
Not the one he made the king. Maybe he's afraid somebody's going to get him because he's not supposed to be king. Or
no.
That's what it looks like it means.
Right.
He told him to, what was he afraid of? That he told him to do this and run away.
Well, it's important to take the necessary precaution and not to put yourself in danger. Even though you're really doing the Ratzon Hashem. You're doing Hashem's will. Hashem wants to punish the household of Ahav. But still, you need to do whatever needs to be done. But Derech HaTeva, according to the way of the world, you have to do whatever needs to be done and take the necessary precaution. You can't say, well, Hashem told me to do it. I'm, you know, in the mission of God. Nothing is going to happen to me, right? I'll do whatever I want and I'll be fine. We find a similar example to this with when Shmuel, the previous Navi, when he went ahead to go and anoint David, this was against Shaul. Shaul found out that Shmuel went ahead to anoint David as king, what would he do? Off with the head. And he would kill him, even though he's a Navi. So Shmuel turns to Hashem and he says, what do you want me to do? You want me to go ahead and anoint David in Beis Lachem? Shmuel finds out, Shama Shmuel b'haragani. Shmuel will find out he's going to kill me. So Hashem says, don't worry. I've got a plan for you. Go ahead, take a carbon, bring the carbon to Beis Lechem, and tell everybody that you came to bring a carbon. You want to join with the festivities, you want to join with the party, and bring the carbon. And you know, while everyone's busy, you can go ahead and take David aside, anoint him privately and quietly. Nobody has to know. And that way, that will be your cover story. Right, so we see even Shmuel, right, the Navi of the generation, who was respected by Shaul. Shaul recognized that Shmuel was the Navi. Still, Hashem tells him, you need to have a plan to cover yourself so Shaul won't hear and try and kill you. Right, so you need to take, even though you're doing the Ratzon Hashem, you still need to take the necessary precautions. That's what's happening over here as well. That's why also Elisha is waiting for the opportune time. He could just say, listen, any time is good. Right? There's no time better than other because Hashem wants me to do it. I'm doing the will of Hashem. But no, it's important, even though you're doing the will of Hashem and the Ratzon Hashem, you're on a mission from God, you still need to strategize and plan out your action, so it'll work out.
It even goes back to the forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
Yaakov's blessing. From Yitzhak.
Right.
Versus Esau.
Right. True. Over there as well. Yeah, Yaakov does whatever he needs to do to get the bracha. Right. That was more Rivka's plan. Right. Rivka was the one. She was the initiator.
He had to run away from home to.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about that.
Because of the blessing.
Right. Yeah. True.
He did the ratzon of Hashem, but still.
Right. He still needed to run away. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's continue. Pasuk Dalet. Ve'elach Hanar, Hanar Navi, Ramas Gilad. So he goes, he travels to Ramas Gilad, where Yehu was. Ve'yavoi, Pasuk Hei, ve'yavoi, ve'hine sarei achayil yoishvim, ve'yomer davarli elecha sar. So he goes over to the group of officers, and he tells them, I want to have a word with one of you. Right? He didn't yet specify who he wants to talk to. V'yomer Yehu el mi mikulanu. So Yehu turns to him and he says, okay, we're a lot of officers. Who do you want to talk to? V'yomer elecha sar. So Yehu turns to Yehu and he says, I want to speak to you, sir.
Officer,
sir, whatever you want to call him. My lord, whatever it is. Yeah, so we see now that he adds words to what Elisha told him, right? He adds on. He doesn't stick to necessarily to the script that Elisha gave him. So he comes. He brings him to the house. Brings him to a private room, and he pours the oil over his head. So he says, again, he adds on words to what Elisha told him. And what did he add on? He adds, Eloke Yisrael. All Elisha said was that Hashem anointed you. But Yoina adds on the words, Hashem, the God of Israel, is anointing you. Meaning, he's referring to Am Hashem. I want you to be the king over the nation of God, which is who? Which is the ones who follow Hashem's rule. Not the ones who are doing averes and are being obeyed to the Baal. Not those. I'm referring only to the people who actually yirei Hashem. Those who are tzaddikim and are separating from idol worship. Pasuk Zayin, V'kisas beis achav adunecha, v'nikamti d'mei avodai hanavim, u'dmei kol avdei Hashem yad yizevel. Not only is he anointing him, he's giving him a mission. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to go ahead and wipe out the household of Yoram, of Achav, really, and avenge the blood of the Nevim that Yizevel, the wife of Achav, killed. V'ovad kol beis Achav, v'chirati l'Achav mashti makir v'otzer v'ozuv b'Yisrael. Not only are you supposed to kill the king, but you have to wipe out the whole entire family. No one is supposed to survive. Kill out everybody. So, two missions over here. First of all, to wipe out all the idol worshippers, which includes the household of Achav, the king, and his whole family. Right, and to make sure that he has no descendants left. Because that's the second part of the mission. The first part of the mission is to eradicate the idol from among the Jewish people. The second mission is to avenge the blood of the Nevim and to kill out the whole family of Achav. Pasuk Tes, V'nasati es beis Achav kveis Yerovam ben Avot u'kveis Basha ben Achia. Saying, I'm going to compare the household of Achav to the household of Yeravam ben Nevat and Baasha ben Achia, which were also really bad kings, and they caused the Jewish people to sin and to worship idols. And so they're going to join the club. They're going to join the club of the kings who were killed, dethroned, and their whole entire families were eliminated. Pasuk Yud, Vesizel yechlu klavim b'chelag Yisrael, v'ein koiver, v'yiftach deles v'yonos. He finishes off his prophecy and he says that Izebel will be eaten by the dogs, right? Which is a very degrading way to go. Sorry?
That's what they do in North Korea.
Oh, really? Okay.
To
good to know.
Relatives of the family.
Really? To the relatives of the family that what?
Kim's relatives.
Enemies of the state?
Didn't salute him properly or something like that.
They get eaten by dogs?
It's an uncle that went against him.
That's pretty horrific.
She'll be eaten by dogs. Every part of her, except her hands.
Right.
Why? Because she used to clap when newly married people go by. She used to make them happy and dance with them. Except her hands and feet.
Right. Right, yeah. Very good. I've seen them before.
Put that in.
Yeah, we learned from there. Well, what schar you get, right? Even though she deserved punishment, you might say, okay, she deserves punishment. Who cares that she made the married people happy? You know, in the big scale, it's such a small little thing.
Right.
Say no. It says in Chazal, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach kol schar bria, schar bria or bria." Hashem does not forget about any tiny little action that you did, positive action that you did. Everything is noted and paid for good and for bad, negative or positive, whatever it is. Every tiny little thing. It's a very eye-opening reminder. Okay. In any case, so this is the nevuah that Yonah tells Yehu. When he finishes his nevuah, he runs out and shuts the door. So the other officer is sitting in the group, turn to you and say, "Well, why is that crazy man? What did he want from you? Why are they calling him a crazy man?" Because Nevi'im typically were viewed as insane, crazy, delusional, because any time they received a prophecy, it was a very disturbing image. Right, their whole body would start flailing, their hands would start, flailing and feet, their whole body was just like going crazy. Because the physical body doesn't really have the ability to accept such high level of divinity.
Except Moshe,
right. Moshe was the only Nabi, true, right. He saw, Moshe is considered to be a Nabi, who saw Baspakalaria Hameira. He was able to see such a clear vision. Every Nabi, when he gets the Vua, it's not like Hashem tells him words. Right, something. Oh, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. It's not like a conversation. Rather, a navi sees an image. He has some kind of image, right? When he goes into the state of some kind of trance, whatever it is, he sees an image. That's why a lot of times you'll find different navim, even though they have the same message overall, but their wording is very different because what they do is they see this image. They have to describe their image, this image, in their own words, their own way. In their own interpretation, so to speak. And that's why every Nabi has a different flavor, a different style, a bit of a different vibe, because it depends on his personal interpretation of this image. In any case, that's why typically a lot of people refer to a Nabi as a crazy person. This guy's crazy, he's a Nabi,
This isn't the Nabi, though. This is his messenger.
Well, he wasn't a senior Nabi. He was called Bnei Nevi'im. Right, he was a lower level Navi. He still was a Navi.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Right, he's a lower level Navi.
You know the man. You recognize the man. He is mad.
Yeah.
And his speech, you know that his speech is unintelligible. He never says anything tangible.
Right, right. That's the way people used to view Navim back then. So Yehud turns to them and he says, "V'yomer lehem, atem yedatam es ha'ish ve'es sichoi." he turns to them and he says, "Oh, you know this guy. You know what he's all about. I don't need to tell you." Bayom was sheker again alone. Bayom are kazeis kazeis omer ella lemar koyim Hashem Hashem meshachtich lamelech al Yisrael. So they say, "Okay, I know. You think we know what he's all about, but why don't you tell us anyway? Let's hear what nonsense he's got to say." Right. So they're clearly these other officers are sitting with Yehu. They're clearly mocking the Navi and the words that he has to say, which is interesting because we're going to see what happens in the next pasuk. So they tell Yehu, tell us what he said. You know, what nonsense does he have to say now? So Yehu tells them, "Listen, this is what he told me. He told me that he anointed me to be king, and he said that I have to overthrow Yoram and kill out his whole family. Kazais, right? This and that." Meaning he gave him two missions, and he mentioned both missions to his friends. But the main mission, obviously, was that the main message was that he's now king. He's now anointed to be the next king.
Well, it seems, but they were telling him that whatever he told you was a lie because they wanted the king to still be king. The ones that the army that belongs
right
to the other king.
Right.
So he didn't tell him.
Well, he did tell him at this point he told him at this point because he needs their help. He needs their support.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
To become king, right? He can't just, you know, decide on his own, "Okay, you know, I'm king now. Everybody follow me." He needs the support of his close friends, his close officers. Without them, he's got nothing. So the second they hear this, they hurry up and they grab their cloaks and they put it under Yehu. They blow the shofar and they announce, "Now Yehu is king." Now this is again a nes, because a second ago they were referring to to Yoina as a meshuga, right?
Yeah, meshuga, you know, he doesn't
right?
talk straight.
Exactly. And
you believe him?
Right, exactly. And all of a sudden now they hear that he's going to become king. That Yoina said that you should be king. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, let's get right away. Let's appoint Yehu to be king.
Mind.
They changed their mind right there on the spot. This is all because Hashem controls the thoughts and the emotions and the feeling of every human being, right? It says, Lev melachim v'sarim b'yad Hashem. Hearts of kings and officers is in the hand of Hashem. Right? The pasuk is saying, not only the hearts of kings and officers, but meaning even the hearts of kings and officers are in the hands of Hashem. All the more so regular people.
Was he a relative of the king? Or just...
No.
Nothing to do with his family.
No. If he was, he would have to be killed.
Well, but I mean, did he have children with her, with Isabel?
Yeah.
He had children.
Yeah.
But he took care of the whole family.
Yeah. Yeah, that was part of the punishment, right? That Achav's whole entire family should be killed.
Kill all the male kids.
Yeah.
Probably had a dozen wives or something. Dozen and a half, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, Pasuk Gadal, Veizkasher Yehu ben Yoshavat ben Nimshi el Yoram, Yoram ha Yashem ha Baram et Gilad, Hu v'chol Yisram b'nei Chazal Melech Aram. So now Yehu has to complete his mission. Now that he's anointed as king, he's got the support of his friends, he's now getting himself ready to go ahead and kill Yoram. Now, where was the army? The army was in Ramoth Gilead. They were preparing for war against Hazael. Hazael, the king of Aram, was preparing for war against the Jewish people. But the king, where was the king? King was in Israel. Right? So he was separate from his men, from his army. And that's why, let's see, the next pasuk. Vayashav Yehoram Melech Lisrapa Bisrael Minamakim, Shiaku Aromi Milachmo Yechazel Melech Aram. Yehoram is meanwhile in Israel, recovering from his injury of the war from the war against Aram. Vayar Mehu, Imyesh Navshechem al Yetzapolit Minair, Laleches, Lahagid Beisrael. So now Yehu has the his first order of business is to tell everybody, make sure nobody leaves the city. Why? Because if somebody leaves the city, they're going to run to your Yehoram right away. They're going to warn him. They're going to warn him, this guy Yehu is trying to take over. He's trying to pursue a political coup to overthrow you. You got to do something about it. If Yehoram knows, right, the element of surprise was a big factor in Yehu taking over. So it was at the utmost importance that no one leave the city in order to warn Yehoram. V'yirkav Yehu v'elech Yisrael, Yehoram sheichev shama, v'chaz yamelech Yehuda yorad lirois es Yehoram. So Yehu goes, he rides over to Israel, because he's got to complete his mission to kill Yehoram. And meanwhile, Ahaziah, the king of Yehuda, went to go visit Yehoram. V'atzeifa oymed al migdal b'Israel, right? That someone who was standing on the tower,
the watchman,
to see if anybody was coming. V'yar es shif as Yehu b'voyoy, v'yoymer shif as ani roye, v'yoymer Yehoram kach rocha v'shlach l'krasam v'yoymer hashalim. So he gives a report, and he sends a report that he sees this massive group of people. Shifas is referring to a big group of people. And he says, I see this massive group of people approaching the city. So Yoram, when he hears this, he says, okay, I have to go and greet these people. He has no idea what's going on yet. He has no idea. He thinks that Yehu is coming, you know, Yehu is one of his officers. Yehu is probably coming to give him a report of what's happening in the war. Right? Or at least preparation for war. V'yelech reichav asis likrasai. V'yoymer koyamar ha-melech ha-sholem. V'yoymer Yehu malcho l'sholem. Soivel acharai. V'agad atzeif alemor bo ha-melech ad-heim v'loyshav. Okay, you know, well, this is, we're starting a whole new thing over here, so let's stop over here and we'll continue from here next week. But we'll see how exactly that transpires where Yehu approaches Yoram and he actually goes ahead and kills him. Okay.